Okay, so we're going to be in John chapter 9, and if you want to just take a moment to turn there in your Bibles, John chapter 9, and we're just going to allow the Lord to speak through His Word by His Spirit, the blessing of coming together in this format of just gathering at His feet as His family is that we're just trying to hear His heart, and we're letting the Word of God speak through the Scriptures as the Holy Spirit ministers to each heart gathered. Once again, I'm not coming as a teacher or anything like that, just someone who's hungry and needy and with the body of Christ and the desire to know Jesus. So, Father, we know that you are so moved by hearts that love your Son and are hungry for your Son and broken because they need His life deep inside, Lord, that moves you. We recall the verses in Luke chapter 15 where you just started running to that prodigal son when he began to come home to the Father. You started bringing your Son to him in such a real way. Oh, Lord, you respond. You do respond. And so we look to you, Father, to feed us, your Son. We come hungry. We come empty. We come open. We come just perishing with hunger, that it would no longer be us, that it would be Christ in us. Lord, what a wonderful, wonderful state to be in. We love you. Have your way today. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, John chapter 9. Let's just begin with verse 1 and see what the Word of God has to say today. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. We're going to look at that a little further, but let's just go on to verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse 3. Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He's like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam, and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Amen. Let's go back to verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. I believe that this gospel is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Release out from the eternal realm of God that the Gospel of John is, and of course all of the verses in the Bible are. It emanates contextually from the beginning, and chapter 8 is only the continuation of chapter 1, which begins, In the beginning, God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And so we are swallowed up in that eternal beginning, which is God. and the word therein that was ever there and continued to be sent forth from there to us. And we find chapter 9 now, part of that eternal release, part of that Father sending his Son, the Eternal One. And we see in that realm, chapter 9, this Jesus, he's walking, he's passing through, and this Jesus is not just a man from Nazareth, is he? He's the Word that was sent from the Father, who was from the beginning with God. Hallelujah. Who was God. Three in one. And this Jesus, yes, the Word is made flesh and he's walking around in this man, Jesus, but he's the Word of the Father, made flesh, walking among them, and he's passing by. And he sees a man who's blind from his birth. And you know, the disciples in verse 2 say, hey, did this guy sin, or were his parents sinning? Why was this guy born blind? You know, and the emphasis being on, you know, hey, what did he do in his lifetime or in the lifetime of his parents? What temporal event birthed this condition? Really, what sin birthed this condition? But you know, he was blind from his birth. He wasn't blind from something that happened. He was blind because this is the condition he was born in. In our first birth, we're all born blind. We have no ability to see the light, which is God. We have no ability to comprehend the life, which is the Son. We have no ability, for the natural man perceiveth not the things which are of God. And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. But we're just born blind. We're born in darkness. We're born in the darkness of not being able to know him who was from the beginning. We are blinded and unable to see God. We cannot. And that's the first birth. But the emphasis on the disciples' part, as seen in verse 2, is, you know, sin. It's the sin that brought the blindness. It's a punishment for sin. It's based on the law. It's based on something he did. It's based on, you know, him and his actions. And yet the Word, Jesus, from the beginning, the one the Father sent, standing there looking at this man born blind that he chose to pick out from the crowd and notice. He's going, listen, hey, he isn't blind because of something he did. He was born blind. He was unable from birth to see and know the light of the world. His beginning was in a creation that was fallen and into darkness, just separation from God. But I have come, he's in this condition, so that works of God can be made manifest in him. And so I feel like there's just something there that's so important to comprehend. And in the choosing of this man from the heart of Jesus, that it wasn't about sin. And it wasn't about even his parents doing something or him having failed in some way, but that his condition came from how he was born. It's just born blind, unable in the first birth to see the sun, unable to perceive light, unable to enter in, unable to even see, participate, know in any manner that which was from the beginning. In verse 4, you know, Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. And I love that that Jesus is saying, I must work the works of my Father who sent me. While it is day, the night comes. You know, he's the light of the world. He's come as the light that shines forth the glory of the Father, that manifests who the Father is. He is that one person that has the light of life, you know, eternal life. He bears the Father within him, and he shines forth his image, and he is the light. And he has come to do the works of the Father who sent him. And these works are to bring us into the light of life, to bring us into the fellowship between the Father and the Son. You know, how much higher is that than just to stop us from sinning or to reverse the effects of a punishment because we sinned? You know, that's, we may think the highest has to do with some failure on our part, or Jesus coming to reverse the effects of the fall, but no, he is coming so far above and beyond that in his eternal heart, straight out from the Father. He is coming to bring us into the light of life and into the fellowship of eternal life. But that's the beginning that is not just where we were born and what we've done, but that's the beginning, which is in God himself. And so in verse 6, he said, when he has thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he says unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And this blind man went his way therefore, and washed and came seeing. And so this, to me, this is the verse that is so full right now, personally, in my heart. It's just right where I'm at right now. I couldn't pick a verse in the scriptures that would more clearly define where my heart is with the Lord right now than this verse right here in the Word of God, verse 7 in chapter 9 of John. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. And the pool of Siloam means sent. And so Jesus is telling this blind man, go wash in the specific pool that is the water of the one the Father sent. Wash in that water. Wash in that water, specifically that pool. So I'm thinking, and now once again, you have to say, Father, open the scriptures to me, reveal what this verse is truly saying by your Spirit. Don't listen to me. This is something that is just coming from my own personal meditations before the Lord. It may or may not be correct, but I just want to just submit it as a thought, as something to ponder together. But I see the pool of Siloam as the bosom of the Father, the very, very heart of the Father, that's been broken open so people can come and drink of the Father's heart. And this pool is the one that the Father sent from his bosom. We read that in chapter 1 of John. Let's just go there really quick to look at the verses, because they're so beautiful. John chapter 1, we're just going to the beginning of this gospel. Hold your place in chapter 9. But it says, verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Hallelujah. This is the one the Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And let's go back now to verse 9. No, let's go to, I'm sorry, but it just continues straight out of verse 1. Let's just start with 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him, the Word that was with God was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness. The darkness comprehends it not. Let's go down to verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh, he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18, again, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And we know that the Father sent his Son. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave, that he sent his only Son, that whosoever would believe and into him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And over again, we find this theme throughout the Gospel of John. But here we see the Word that was sent and made flesh and is the light of life unto us, coming to this man born blind, picking him out from the crowd. And saying, hey, this isn't about what he's done. This isn't about what his parents have done. This is bigger than even the first birth and all the repercussions of it. This is something about the works of my Father that I've been sent straight out of his bosom to do, to bring you in, to bring you into the fellowship, to bring you into the oneness of what I have with my Father, to bring you eternal life. Hallelujah. But this man, the works that I want to do to bring him into true light, into true seeing. I want to use this process of washing to help illustrate the path, the way to wash, to receive sight, the way to receive sight. And he goes, listen, he takes that spittle and he anoints it with his own, he takes that clay and he anoints it with his own spittle, puts it on his eyes, you know. You're blinded by this earthly man, this first man of the earth, this, you know, this first birth. And you blinded from seeing the light, which is the Son. The Son straight out of the bosom of the Father, you know, can't really see him. It's always blocked by the darkness of our carnal view and of this earth and of this first birth. But go wash this away. Wash this away in this pool of the one the Father sent. This pool, which is, in my opinion, like the Father's own bosom, the Father's own heart, just cracked open wide and made available to whomsoever would come and wash away the first birth views. Wash, just wash in the specific waters of the Father's heart that can only declare one thing. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is the Son of my love. This is the one by whom all things are created. This is the one in whom all things consist. This is the fullness of him who filleth all in all. This is the head of the body in whom it has pleased me that all fullness dwell. This is the one that I honor. This is the one that I exalt. This is the one that has been with me from the beginning. This is the Son of my love. Wash in him. See him. Be immersed in him. Let him be your light. Let him be your life. Let him be your relationship with the Father. Let him be the way and the truth and the life. Let him remove every identity, every view. Oh man, just see the sun wash in these waters. Throughout the scriptures, water is, I believe, a type and shadow of the Word of God and of washing in the waters of the Word. We see it in Ephesians 5. Paul refers to the water as washing in the Word. I believe we find it in type and shadow in the Old Testament as well, in the laver and other areas as well. But it's that Word that is spirit and life that becomes more than just a thought in our mind or a teaching from the pulpit or a class that we take notes in. It's literally the regeneration of the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God and renewing our minds and making what was once just doctrine, spirit and life in Christ within us. And that as we come hungry, we come open, we come ready to not see, to not proceed from the first birth's view, but to enter into the fulfillment of why those verses are there, which is the Son that was sent. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 39, just a couple scriptures back from where we're at right now in John chapter 9. In John chapter 5, he says, listen, these are they, and he's referring to the Old Testament verses, these are they that testify of me, but you will not come unto me that you might have life. He's saying this to Pharisees. These verses, these scriptures that you know by heart, these are they that testify of me, but you won't come to me. The Son, the Father sent, you won't come that you might have life. And herein is life, the Father and the Son. We hear that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. You know, you won't come to the pool of Siloam and wash in these waters that you might have life, that you might get your sight, that you might see the light of life and be filled with light. The light that came to light every man, it says in John chapter 1. But you will not come to this pool. You will not come to me. You come to the first birth and you try to improve yourself and repent of your sins and make yourself better and try harder and get cleaner and do more holiness and more righteousness, and all of it separate from the Son the Father sent, the Son of the Father's, the pool that the waters that fill the heart of God the Father. And if you will, the Father's cup overflows, and these waters of Siloam pour forth the Son that he sent to be our light and our life, and it just washes over every hungry heart who will come and freely partake of this gift of the Father, his Son. Just washes, washes, washes. Wash in these waters. Go to the pool of the Son I sent. And just wash, and all that blind man did was obey. He just went and washed away that first birth blindness. Said, I am not of the first birth. I'm born from above. I'm born out of Christ. Christ is my new birth. The Son is my life. I am of God, and I am no longer of the old creation. All things have been made new, and all things are of God. That's his Son. That's the newness, is Christ. Hallelujah. And it just, oh, all of a sudden, oh, all these intellectual or deep or spiritual ways of looking and analyzing and adding to and figuring, and all of a sudden, it's just like the Bible is just this liquid pool of the Father's heart, broken wide open, and saying, just dive in and drink in my Son and wash away everything that's not my Son, and just see him. And as I see him, I see the Father. And as I see him and the Father, I see it's the Spirit helping me see them. And wow. Not I, but Christ. You know, it's just so beautiful. I love it in verse 11 where it says, how these people are interrogating this guy. How are you able to see? How are your eyes open? He just says a man named Jesus made clay. He anointed my eyes and told me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went, I washed, I received my sight. It's that simple. I believe it's that simple. I believe it gets complicated, and we see it in the second half of chapter 9. I believe it gets complicated because there aren't that many blind men in Israel. What does that mean to me? I believe it just means there are so few who truly believe they're blind, who are willing to say, listen, man, I sit here and beg, I don't see the sun. I'm stuck in the first birth. My view is so of the old. I'm blind. I don't see the Son the Father sent in a way that fills me with light and gives me new life, His life. You know, I think that we see this with the Pharisees. They felt as if they were 20/20 vision, you know, like they really saw, they really knew. And Jesus has to address them. It's incredible. At the end of this chapter, the story and the progression, which I don't believe we're meant to go into everything, that is for the hungry who want to kneel before the feet of God and listen what these verses would say. But I'll just a little portion of it. Verse 40 in chapter 9, it says, some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto Jesus, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. There's another place in the scriptures where Jesus said, I came for the blind, to give them sight. And, you know, I'm okay personally with being blind and actually standing before my Father and saying, Father, I was born blind. I was born in this condition. It reminds me of David and the way he addressed God in Psalm 51, where he said, listen, in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born in iniquity. This is the condition of my being separate from you. And only you can change that. Only you can be that change. I can't reverse first birth. I can't take blind eyes and make them see. But Jesus, you are the light that was sent from the Father to bring me in. You are the life that was meant to possess my inward parts and build me up into that bride. And just appealing to God on His terms, based on the scriptures, those who've come before us and known His heart. You know, Jesus, Father, I am blind, but I'm going to be the blind man who goes to the pool of the one that was sent from the Father and washes in those waters, dives into the Father's heart and swims and is baptized into the Son of His love and is immersed and washes those old views and is renewed in the spirit of my mind and brings forth the Son. I just believe that, I personally believe that the Father is moved by that, based on the Word of God. I believe that we shouldn't be ashamed of not seeing or being blind, but just before God our Father, who has sent His Son to give us light and life, to be our light, to be our life, just say, Father, I'm a blind man. But I want to wash in your heart and in the sun that fills your heart and in the waters, in the word of that that's just like water flowing over me, flowing into me, washing away the old creation, washing away the first birth and washing in the very life and spirit and nature of your Son, the Son you love, the Son in whom all your pleasure is. Oh, wash me in the pool of Siloam. Wash me in the Son that you sent to be my life. Oh, Father, thank you for opening your heart. You know, I am there. I'm coming. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, that on this blind man, your works were made manifest. The works that you came from the very before time, before the foundations of the world. You came to bring us into that fellowship between the Father and the Son. You were sent to gather us in to partake of that wonder and that fellowship. And that these are the works that you want to work upon us. Not just healing a sin or forgiving a transgression or taking care of an infirmity in the flesh, that you came for something so much higher, so much deeper in your heart from the very beginning before us, that you wanted to draw us in and you wanted to manifest that in us, and you were sent with that heart and that love and that eternal purpose. And that we want to be prepared to be the one you can manifest it on. You can do that work in. You can bring us in. Wash us. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. What a great love wherewith we have been loved. That we would be accepted in the Beloved to the very glory of God's grace. Whew. What great love hath he loved us with, our Father, by sending his Son in this way. And yet how many times in my blindness have I thought I saw and not come to the water and washed and not partook of that grace and of that fullness, grace for grace. Hallelujah. Just not partook of his fullness, grace for grace. Oh, may the Lord just continue to draw us. May the Father continue to draw us to his Son. May the Spirit continue to take us to the waters that have been gushing out from the Father's heart to wash us in the Son of his love and bring forth his light and his life within us. May the first birth not prevent us from entering into the Son. May we be as prodigal and blind and distant as we need to be, that when we come naked of our own resources, emptied of our own fullness, not wanting the first birth anymore, ready for the Father's feast, ready for the Father's pool, ready for the Father's heart to explode over us and into us. Hallelujah. Whew. Man, you don't think he's going to come running out of the house and meet you down the road? Gather you in. Oh, man. He's waiting. He's not waiting for our righteousness. He's not waiting for our deeper life understanding of things that have been illuminated to. He's waiting for a heart ready for his Son, the light and life of his being, the one he sent, that we would be swallowed up, put on the ring, put on the robe, get the fatted calf slain, get those waters. Get ready. Here comes my Son in a real way, in you, in every heart that's ready to receive. Glory to God. So, Father, we just pray. Oh, have your way in this blind woman. Oh, Father, may the scriptures become the very pool of Siloam, the very heart and bosom of the Father, full of his Son, in a manner that is spirit and life to be washed in. O Father, by your Spirit, may this be real all the days of my life and all the days of our lives, O Lord. May it no longer become something to gain for myself, to add to me in the first birth, to make sense in the old first creation. May it wash away the mud and earthiness of it. And bring forth, oh, the one you love so dearly from before time, from the beginning, may be gathered into that fellowship by the Son being my life. May it be evermore, all the days of our life. May the scriptures be as the very pool of Siloam, the very Son that you sent to be our life, to be our light, to fill us with all his fullness, that he might glorify you, Father, through us, that he might pour out of us to others in living ways. or we really don't have the words for this prayer because it's so eternal. It proceeds out from your desire, and so we just lift our heart and eyes and faith to your desire. Do all that's in your heart, O Lord. O Father, be glorified. Have your way. We say yes. We say yes. We say yes to you, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.